You're listening to Mondo Cool, the only Dragon Ball movie podcast that gives you a Zenkai boost.
That's right, boys. Mondo Cool.
What's up, Dragon Ballers? It's time for the very first episode 24 of Mondo Cool. That's our Dragon Ball movie review podcast for the GB Podcast Network. I'm your host, KZ Excellent of KZExcellent.com, and with me, as always, are scholars of the Dragon Ball universe, that being Dan and Bob Video Games from Gigaboost.com.
I hate Saiyans, but I'll you know what? I'll include Namekians.
I'm here too.
And questionably animated, Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
I made this thing to negate the gas in 13 seconds.
Thank you.
Man, that is just really, really convenient. So on this show, we come together, we watch every single bit of Dragon Ball movie, OVA type of media, all of it, including stuff that was packed into a 7th gen video game. We talk about it, go through some segments. It's a lot of fun. This episode, very special, as it celebrates 2 full years of this show.
Wow.
This is month 24 of Mondo Cool. Some exciting times. This also ends up being the final episode in which Dan has to summarize these things that we watch. Soon I'll host my own show and free him. But that's once this podcast itself is over. But before all of that, you have always had the chance to get this stuff early. And Feel's going to tell you how you can do that and how you can pay for my lunch.
You can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBPodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to many benefits, such as early access to this and Chugging Bleach, our 2 anime review podcasts, a Patreon-exclusive show once a month where you get to vote on what good or bad thing we watch and talk about, and extended Armchair Dev Pitches and Gamer Premonitions, where you get to hear the things that we didn't get to say because the format of those shows are cruel. That's patreon.com/GBPodcast. And if you don't have any money, you can tell your friends, and maybe they have money so KZ can get a famous bowl.
Ooh! Thank you, Feel. We've done a lot of Dragon Ball programming on here from all different eras of the Dragon Ball series. We've done some really good stuff, some really pathetic stuff, some live-action stuff, but nothing could truly prepare us for a thing that Feel described as the most pathetic thing we watched at the time, getting a remake that is half the length and a pack-in for a video game. This month, we watched Dragon Ball Z Plan to Eradicate the Super Saiyans.
Ooh.
Or, as it's called in Japanese,
Dragon Ball Zeto Gaiden Saiyajin Zetsumetsu Keikaku.
Thank you! I appreciate that. Now, it's with all of my hopes and dreams, I'm gonna put it all on Dan. Recap this as fast as possible.
Go watch Mondo Cool 15.
I don't know about that. I feel like you won't be getting the same content.
Yeah, I was gonna, there were more instructions.
Okay.
If you could just skip the middle chunk and a lot of the beginning and pretend the moment they go, hey, this thing's generating a gas that kills all organic life, we should solve that, that they were there punching things already. That they were just in Lychee's face the second they finished that syllable. That is the experience of watching this one.
Yeah, they teleport to the planet so fast, it's crazy.
It's so fast, they don't show them teleporting there.
Yeah.
They're just there now.
Yeah, this movie has 2 scenes.
It does, in fact, have 2 scenes. They also have new technology where they will draw one thing and then zoom in on it, and then I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, they did digital zooms way too far nonstop all throughout that.
They did, like, 3 or 4 in a row. We're like, stop!
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing?
This is the worst any of these has ever looked.
Yeah, it's true. If you recall, back in October 8th of 2020, I posted a picture from this going, holy shit, I just clicked it. This is unreal. And yet again, I have posted that image.
And there it is, folks. It was the worst it's ever been. He posted that image at the time, and I'm like, that looks really terrible. Then you watch it and go, they did mouth flaps for this part.
Yeah, Vegeta talks in that scene, and I'm like, why? That's not even Vegeta you drew.
Everyone what? Looks so terrible.
I cannot believe how much worse this looks than the original.
They cut literally all of the story out.
Yeah.
They're like, there's Destron gas. You fight the old villains again. They laugh by gyrating. Every bit of context of how they're defeated is literally removed from the story. And now it's time for the final set piece.
Yeah. The weirdest part is, if you recall, they went to a number of planets that was supposed to line up with the original thing, right?
Yeah, with the original Playdia game.
Yes. But no, that's gone. Get out of here. Chew.
No.
Beat it.
How was this made after that last thing? That seems crazy.
I don't know. That last thing was so good.
This was made to be a tie-in packaged with a video game that was also low budget.
Worth noting, this is half the length of the original.
Yeah. This is 20 minutes long.
Yeah, it's a very short thing. It was meant just to push a new character they could use for that video game. Like, they have a CG intro for Raging Blast 2 that culminates with Hachiak in it. And then you get the special where he looks like infinitely worse.
Yeah.
Wow, I forgot they even put Hachiak in that game.
Like, that's the only reason this thing was made. Was like, well, let's make an anime out of it.
As a gimmick level, it works as a, and this is how their press release made it sound too, this is an exclusive, never seen before outside of Japan, OVA recreated in HD. So they say.
Sure.
Yeah, the version we had was clearly Vita resolution.
Yes, it was Vita core. It was, oh my god. Yeah, this is rough. This is easily the roughest looking thing in all of Mondo Cool.
Which is great, because we called the last thing the most pathetic thing we've ever seen. So it's like they found a way to top it.
What are you talking about? Evolution looked great.
Oh, I'm just talking about the original plan to eradicate the Saiyans.
Oh, okay. I thought you saw it meant the last thing we reviewed on Mondo Cool. I'm like, that's a live action movie. It was hilarious.
Yeah, no. This started becoming delightful for me because of how bad it was. Where I'm just like, none of them can laugh right. They just shake.
Yeah, their shoulders pulsate is the way they animate them laughing, and it's nonstop. It was driving me nuts.
For at least a third of the final battle, they forgot Piccolo was there.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah,
and there we go. That's your summary.
Yeah, that really is it. The only piece of depth they had for it was, you have to count to 15. That's when he shoots the thing. We should all shoot him at the same time. It's over.
We shouldn't dodge it and then shoot. We should beam clash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very smart.
Okay, so thank you so much, Dan. I really appreciate that.
No problem, Casey.
All right, so we're going to move on to our segments. It is time for the Yamcha Award. We give this out for the worst performing character in whatever film or thing that we had to watch. We're going to start with Feel. Who gets the Yamcha Award for Plan to Eradicate the Super Saiyans?
Namco Bandai.
Damn, he stole mine.
Man, that's fucked up. We can give it to them back then and this week for that fucking new logo.
Yeah. We sure can.
Okay, Dan, you can go next.
Oh, that's really unfortunate. He stole mine. Do we know for a fact Toei made this? I assume we know that. So I'm going to say Toei.
I would say so. They're at least using Yamamura sheets that make everyone look like polished rubber. every piece of hair has to fucking shine.
God. Yeah, this is the worst this has ever looked. This literally looks like it was animated by high schoolers in 2002 drawing Dragon Ball Z.
It really sucks when Super Broly got announced and they showed like the new designs. I'm like, thank God they fucking put that dude in a closet. That closet was the Dragon Ball fucking heroes animating things, but still.
Oh, nobody yeah, that's where he that. Belongs. No, people totally do, because it's insane. It's like, here, remember Dr. Wheelow? Here's him with a human body and a big claw hand.
That sounds pretty cool. I don't know.
That is cool, unlike anything that we just saw. Bob, who's your Yamcha Award winner?
I'm getting the Piccolo. He disappeared.
I wish Yamcha would disappear.
Okay. Mine's pretty simple. It's going to be Turles, because he didn't look nearly as cracked out as he did in the original, where he was almost Aqua Teen-esque.
Yeah.
That was the best part. That was one of the best parts of the original special. And here he's just like, I'm here.
Yeah, the special is so sad.
Yeah,
how pitiful.
It is truly pitiful and sad. Also pitiful and sad. My other segments next up.
Wait, did Fuka? Yes, he did.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. You gaslit me. I'm like, I'm trying to get through this fast. You're making me think I totally would skip someone. If given the fucking chance, I would. Next up, who can beat Jiren? Our second segment in here in Mondo Cool. Dan, you get to start. You get to pick a character from this thing that we unfortunately watched that you think could be Jiren. Go ahead. Mm,
as much as I would like to nominate Hachiak couldn't do it because he doesn't hate Jiren's people enough.
So the grudge energy.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say the nerf gas named Destrin Gas can probably beat Jiren.
Again, and even if he's far away, 70 days later, it'll be taken out. We'll get it knocked down the first 2 hours of that 70-day span, though.
Yeah, it'll be the longest Dragon Ball OVA ever made. It will literally be 70 hours of Jiren being like, well, if I leave the planet, that's cowardice. I won't leave the planet.
He will instead meditate crisscross applesauce until he just bleeds out.
And the dude, he doesn't have a Bulma. He's done for.
I'm gonna pick Bulma.
Okay.
She was able to immediately find a cure for the Destron gas off screen in 2 minutes. I think she can find some way to euthanize
Jiren. She's gonna get a pill popper that's for cats and just pop it into his mouth.
Nom, nom. If anyone wants to make one of those like WikiHow images that's like how to pill your cat, but it's
but it's for Jiren.
But it's how to pill your Jiren. Please at all of us with that.
Yes, no, that'd be great.
Because that would be the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Oh man.
Okay, we'll do Feel next.
The budget of this film.
That's true. He would fall apart too.
Yeah, he would. He wouldn't. It wouldn't look like Jiren, which means Jiren isn't there, which means he's disqualified for not being involved. Bob,
this is rough.
Yeah, I know. It really is rough.
I'm going to give it to Trunks. I think his neck becomes so powerful he can easily take down Jiren.
Yeah, that was real strong the same way Resident Evil Dead Aim Bruce McGivern is.
Yes, no, that's true. Oh my god.
I mean, you've all brought some really great picks here. It's time for our third segment where you have to take a Dragon Ball series character and pit them up against the villain of this particular film. This time, badly animated Hachiak. Bob?
Sure. Let me see. You know, they say that Goku thinks that this guy's more powerful than Broly. Brings it up.
He does say that!
Yeah, he does.
So I'm going to say Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Oh, shit!
Oh, man.
I assume that he can count.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, if he can count, that means he's not raging, right?
Right. But I'm saying he doesn't even need to rage to get him.
Yeah.
He just needs to count.
Yeah, he just needs to do a couple level ones. All right. Well, I'll accept that. Feel, you can go next.
It's hard to even think about this movie, if we're being honest. Like, it repels examination.
It really does.
I'll say Dr. Gero, because he'll somehow hack Hachiak and turn him off. Like, no, fuck that. Boop. He DDoS's Hachiak.
Yeah. You know, I have something in a similar vein. I'm going to pick Birder. He's really fast, so he'll just be so fast, he'll fucking fuck with him. He'll find his off switch and just effortlessly fucking take him out. That's his big characteristic. Being fast. That was also Jace's characteristic besides being Australian.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why they were boyfriends.
Yes. Bringing up the rear, Dan, what you got?
So I'm going to say ultimate defeat is what I'm going for here.
Okay.
I think Daltaki could turn him into a doll. That's a fate worse than death. That is true defeat. You would wish you were dead.
It's like, oh no, you've become a Playarts Kai.
Yup. And that is ultimate defeat right there.
Yeah,
the worst.
That's way too expensive for fucking Hachiak.
I mean, Hachiak doesn't even have a chance because he's not Saiyan, so he won't be powered by rage.
I mean, nobody will come save him either. Like, nobody cares about Hachi.
No one cares about Hachi.
I love the mocking tone you had while watching this going, why isn't he in Fighters?
Look, I'm all for bringing in idiots. That's why I wanted 7 more Gokus.
Yeah, but fucking Tsunamo before that.
Assuming a Tsunamo needs to be the only striker exclusive character.
God.
You can't play a Tsunamo. He's too powerful.
Sure.
Well, despite all odds, we managed to blitz through this in record time. So that brings us to, the most important thing we do. Where we have to review this Dragon Ball thing on a scale. And then we get to figure out how it ranks against everything else. So this is our 24th thing. This is Dragon Ball fucking plan to eradicate the Super Saiyans. We rank between 0 and 7. So the highest they can get is a 28. The lowest it can get is... All right, so we're going to start with Bob. I need your review and score.
This is obviously a 0. Like, it's somehow worse than the original one, which I gave a 0.
Yes, it is.
Like, there's no going lower than this. I wish we could go negatives because it earns it.
Yeah, I definitely asked for permission for negatives because this is the first thing that I feel deserved.
And I'm like, I can't, but we can really stress how bad it is. Okay, feel.
0. There's literally nothing of value. You can't even say the idea is valuable because it didn't create it. It's a remake of something that had those ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This stripped out parts of the idea. That's how good it is.
I love it because we're halfway watching and going, what score did we give? And I'm like, the only person who gave it a score was Feel. Everyone else said 0.
Yeah. It.
Dan.
0. Of course. If I could go negative, I would because it fucking deserves it. It is so unreal how bad this is. I assumed... It didn't constantly look like that image I took a year ago.
Yeah, I can't believe it constantly looked like that image you took.
How?
And we used to take screenshots of the original going, look how bad this looks.
Yes.
As much as I wanted to boost it up because a lot of it is really funny to me, this is embarrassing. I can't believe this exists. This is a 0, easily.
Yeah, this is easily, hands down, the dumbest thing they've done with Dragon Ball Z movies.
Yeah, this is the dumbest Dragon Ball thing I've ever seen, because at least Dragon Ball Heroes going, here's Cell X, the Demon Lord or whatever, that has value, that's something different.
Yeah, that has a Mew 3 energy.
Huh? Yes, and that is valuable. This is not.
No, it is not.
Yeah, this is the most pathetic thing we truly have ever seen, which... means it's my distinct privilege, because no doubt, we have a tie here. This is at the very bottom, correct?
Uh-huh. That's the deal.
There's nothing else.
We literally gave it all 0s. I asked for negatives. I was denied.
Yep, all right.
You can't get lower than this. Yeah.
This is undeniably the worst one.
Good. That makes my job easier, as I get to rattle off our top 24 here. Number 24, what we just saw. Plan to eradicate the Super Saiyan people, as Dan has wrote it in our list here. Then number 23, Dragon Ball GT, A Hero's Legacy. Then Dragon Ball Path to Power. Then number 21, plan to eradicate the Saiyans. The source material, which was, again, an animated thing effort to be a guide for a video game. Then number 20, Bio Broly. Then number 19, The Return of Cooler, which I'll remind you, everyone was sad going, oh shit, this got real bad. How is it this bad?
Yeah, I thought that shit was way cooler from memory.
Yeah, so did I, as a big Cooler fan. No. Then number 18, History of Trunks. Then we start hitting things that aren't abysmal. Number 17, Wrath of the Dragon. Then number 16, Bardock, Father of Goku. Number 15, Dragon Ball Evolution, the thing from last week. That's almost 10 times better than what we just saw. Number 14, Tree of Might. Number 13, Sleeping Princess in Devil's Castle. Number 12, Broly Second Coming. Entering the non-evil colored part of our bar here. Number 11, Curse of the Blood Rubies. Number 10, Broly the Legendary Super Saiyan Person. Number 9, Mystical Adventure. Number 8, World's Strongest. Number 7, Bojack Unbound. Number 6, Cooler's Revenge. Bringing us to our top 5 of Fusion Reborn, Lord Slug, Super Android 13, Dead Zone, and yo, Son Goku and his friends return. Wasn't it such a great vibe two episodes ago when we gave something a 25?
Yes.
Out of 28.
Yeah, that was great.
Over the course of two episodes, we dropped 100% of the score.
How did we do it?
We had already dropped like 70% of the score in between episodes, but now it was truly, truly, completely fucking gone.
At this rate, by episode 26 of Mondo Cool, we will be at negative 25.
Well, we have seemingly hit the end of this momentous 24th episode. It is here that Phil has a summary for the next thing we're going to watch that that Bob has to read that'll bring us into that next episode.
Here we go. Time to go back to the past again to deal with Bardock again. No, wait. We're getting interference. What's this? An evil exercise machine? Egypt? Loft apartments?
What?
Next time on Mondo Cool, Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters.
You're listening to Mondo Cool, the only Dragon Ball movie podcast that gives you a Zenkai boost.
That's right, boys. Mondo Cool.
What's up, Dragon Ballers? Here we are with Mondo Cool 24.5, the long-awaited event. I'm told this is a Dragon Ball film that we're doing. We already did those bits in the episode already, so we can just jump right into this here. The movie we had to watch was Dragon Ball Z : Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie made for theaters. Or as it's called in Japanese.
Oh, God.
Gekijo Muke, Aqua Teen Hunger Force Kokoro, Fiega Firm.
Wow, that sounds so much better.
Now I'm kind of questioning things about this, but I'll just do that on the side. While that's happening, Dan, take us through very quickly this Dragon Ball film.
Okay, so we open with a let's all go to the lobby bit, which is now metal. It's being performed by Mastodon, who is their own confectionery things you get when you go to the theater. And they're screaming about how your money is our money now. If your baby screams, leave it on the street and run over it after the show.
Don't talk. Watch it.
We open
you came
with
here. Watch it.
Egypt, millions of years ago, we show a sphinx drinking a soda, and then it says New York, and a plane flies overhead.
1408.
The crew, as we know them, of course, throughout Mondo Cool, busts out of the sphinx. They need oxygen. They're speaking in reverse speech. Things are crazy. They're talking about they need to get out. A giant poodle attacks them, shooting lasers out of its eyes and breathing fire breath. And Frylock, our main character, starts fighting it off. Master Shake and Meatwad start hijacking a Jeep, trying to start it up. And as Meatwad turns on the radio thinking that'll help, Master Shake says, no, we're not listening to Egypt's only country. We're listening to The Sand, Cairo's classic rock. The poodle starts eating Frylock and throws his corpse at the Jeep. Shake, completely done with this shit, grabs the poodle and throws it Bowser style, Super Mario 64, into the background, and it explodes. We cut to modern day inside of their house, as we've known it throughout all these episodes of Monocle, and Frylock says, that shit never happened. Shake continues to explain. No, you see, we're making it away. We were trying to save you. And then we ran into Time Lincoln, who's a witch doctor. And he was going to help you. But instead, you know, I played a Civil War game on the Atari against your corpse and won. But then the CIA busted in. And the crew, as we know them, escape in a Beetle convertible as the CIA fires at an empty room saying, we know you're invisible. And they just keep firing the gun into the fucking room. one of the members of the CIA, John Benjamin. So that was a nice plus.
Yes.
Time Lincoln pulls the car over next to a giant rock and says, "This rocket should take you as far as Pluto." They board the rocket. It starts flying away, and Time Lincoln's like, "Well, it's time to escape." The CIA pulls up. They're like, Time Lincoln, stop now." And he's like, "Nope, I gotta go." And he starts laughing as he disappears in his time portal with the particle effects like in Star Trek. And they shoot him in the neck with a dart that just stuns him. They're like, "Are you sure we should have done that? That'll now affect time." And it's zoomed in on the CIA guys as they wear shirts that say slavery. And when it cuts to the wide, they are pulling a rickshaw for a black man who is whipping them. We then cut to the intro.
They got a lot done.
They did.
Yeah.
That was a lot of events.
We end the intro, which is fancy and different for the movie. It's very neat.
Yeah, they got a new singer. It's actually rendered right.
which has a really great section with Carl.
Yes. God. Does it ever. The intro ends. We cut to Dr. Weird in his castle going, "My father built this castle years ago, saying weirds would live here for thousands of years. And now it's being turned into lofts." As you see, to the castle is just being rebuilt into lofts to be rented out to people. And some dude's like, You can rent it if you want. And he goes, "No, it's fine. I don't want to leave." And then he turns inside out. Meat on the outside, skin on the inside. The dude gets scared and starts running. He laughs and he goes, "No, we wanted to pay." And rips his heart out.
Me when I ask my artist friends for things.
"But we want to pay."
We cut to Meatwad performing at a concert with a toy guitar. There is a cat cannon. There's a whole bit there. We're moving past it.
Yeah.
Walter Mellon watches from his spaceship with Neil Peart, the drummer from Rush, watching things progress forward as though they're sort of like overseeing everything, like masterminds or something. And Neil Peart just has a whole drum kit around himself that he keeps playing, and it's really good because he's fucking Neil Peart. Master Shake explains having sex to Meatwad by drawing a uterus as a circle in a car. And he says, "Then we gotta go drive to pick up the uterus." Meatwad's like, "Wow." And it's terrible. And Shake has no idea what he's talking about. And then Shake goes, "Look, women love me because I'm ripped." Meatwad's like, "Do women love me?" And he turns into a hot dog. Master Shake says, they pity you, so you know." That can work depending, but he says he's gonna get shredded with this machine of his, and then the movie starts. Meatwad goes, you have a machine?" He goes, a machine, I have the machine." And then it cuts to the Insanoflex, a fucked up exercise machine that is like exploding inward on itself. It's so discombobulated and fucked up. Then the movie starts. We're going to go really fast now. Meatwad tries to use Frylock's computer to play online games. Frylock throws him away from the computer because there are bras on screen. He's browsing a bra website. They smash into Google Insanoflex, and the computer gets possessed by a computer language that says, "You must never assemble the Insanoflex. Do you need help assembling?" And it gives them a phone number they call. Oh, my God. We then cut to New York. Beyond Pluto.
It's very smart, actually.
The Plutonians have a toy phone that is going off as it walks across the room, and it keeps ringing. The cybernetic ghost of Christmas past is next to them.
From the future.
Yes, the Christmas past from the future. He goes, "Do you have a second?" And the Plutonians are like, "Sure." And he goes, "Thousands of years ago in the future, your people invented this machine, the Insanoflex." And these are my notes now. I can't understand them anymore.
Yeah, they put the filter on too hard.
It's so thick. It's fucked up that I'm like, I need subtitles for this English show. The future is shown as an insane painting that is clearly Terminator, and on one of the hills next to the piles of skulls in the future is an Insanoflex being like laid upon by sexy women. And the Plutonians are trying to understand the situation. The slightly smarter one, the green one, he goes, are you Are you saying that someone could score so much ass that he would cause a massive global inbreeding pandemic? And that would cause an epidemic of sorts? And the ghost says, no, but yes, I guess that could happen. Toy phone keeps going off. They're like, whatever, let the machine get it. They have a tape recorder answering machine, and the toy phone just starts ripping the tape out as they're trying to leave the message. Christmas ghost warns them that... This is the dumbest note in this entire fucking thing. Christmas ghost warns them, yes, you could get the machine, but you would probably just get tired of using it, and then you wouldn't use it at all, and it would just sit in the closet, judging you. It's like, that has nothing to do with anything going on. We cut to the main crew. They realize the Insanoflex, now rebuilt by Frylock, is missing some sort of M-shaped circuit board. Carl They go next door to Carl, who apparently is who Shake stole it from. Carl explains his pants, made of advanced technology, to Frylock, which involves him explaining how it wicks the moisture off of his balls.
Yes!
They try to figure out, okay, Carl doesn't have the M. Someone's got to have the M. Where's the M? Master Shake has been using fucking the box that came in as a race car. He drew a car on the side of it. They find an address on a piece of paper attached to the cardboard box. They leave. The Plutonians land, try to get into their house, but it's locked. So then they go to leave, and Carl's like, hey, their key is on that nail next to the door. They pick it up. They open the door. Then, yeah. Anyway, nothing really happens there.
Yeah, pretty much.
We get a flashback from Frylock. He's young. There's a vat of oil. Weird has Steve shoestring some potatoes and Weird dunks his hand into the boiling oil, burning it horribly. It burns and falls off like a matchstick. And he goes, good, it's ready. Frylock starts getting dunked into the oil and then he wakes up. We cut to the danger cart. Which, for people who don't know, that's a rickshaw that Meatwad powers. We cut the danger cart going up the side of the castle's mountain. They go in. The crew is now talking to Rob, which was the guy from the lofts, and a monster, a really weird monster. This goes nowhere, so they leave. When they leave, it turns out the crew wasn't the crew. They were, in fact, two of the Plutonians, or the Plutonians, and the Christmas from Christmas, the ghost of Christmas past from the future. We cut back inside, Rob and the monster with Dr. Weird and Steve.
Yes.
They just rip the fucking suit off. The main crew actually starts walking up, and the Plutonian, still in the disguise of the main crew along with the Christmas ghost, just goes, quick, we need to hide. And they start making out in a doorway in the background. Shake tells them to get a room, and they keep walking past. They then go, okay, they're gone. And then they start making out again, at least the orange Plutonian and the ghost, while the green one just watches, and it's terrible, and everything's terrible.
It's truly vile.
The crew now actually enters Dr. Weird's room and starts torching up everything, including a chicken. As they keep torching up the place trying to get the circuit board, they get missile codes. And they're like, we didn't come here for missile codes. And Meatwad's like, I did.
starts
launching a missile, which kills Space Ghost. Anyways, they find the M circuit board.
It's so sad.
It was. He's like, does anyone else smell missiles?
I'm archive footage.
God, it was so low quality.
Looked like shit.
Really did. It was the worst looking thing it just looked like somebody ripped it on a VHS.
The only thing that looked worse is when we watched the intro for Aqua Teen that was included with an Amazon HD video.
Yeah, it's an Amazon HD episode. It was from like season 7 or 10 or whatever, and the intro is still the original.
I had to watch it on Adult Swim, the website, because for some reason it isn't on HBO Max, even though the show is.
Oh.
Fucked up.
Ah.
Streaming services are great.
Yeah, they sure are.
We bought it from Amazon Prime for like $2.
Yeah, the movie was $2. An episode, reminder, their episodes are 11 minutes long, $3.
Yeah. So it's like an eighth of the length.
Yeah.
For one more dollar.
Absolutely not. Okay. The crew gets the M board, as I said. The Moonanites show up and start stealing shit. And as they do, the crew just leaves. Weird rips out of the chicken, which is really funny because the Moonanites are like, Dude, what is wrong with your chicken?
The chicken's been on fire screaming for the past 3 straight minutes.
Yes, it's true. Just the background radiation of the show now. And then it bubbles up and he rips out of the chicken. The Moon Knight starts slowly stealing their coffee table. We cut to the crew back in their living room. They're trying to put the board in. They're putting it upside down because they're not very smart. The ghost shows up, tells them, you know, they're putting it in wrong. They put it in correctly. It transforms into a terrible mech that has hockey sticks for legs, basically. Just attached to the side that spin.
Right, yep. But this is after Carl starts using it, and it seems normal until...
That's true. They assemble it, Carl sits in it, starts to use it, and then it transforms into the mech. There's so much to cover, and I cut out several characters in just that last bit.
Thank you.
There's so much happening.
Yep.
So...
There's a lot.
As it's transformed into this giant mech, Carl is trapped to the side of it, and it keeps bobbing up and down while blaring dance music. It's really good, and he starts screaming as it manipulates his arms and legs to start exercise.
And the remaining things that he says for the next 25 minutes are,
I think it's important for me to say what the name of the song is that it plays,
mm-hmm.
and the lyrics, which are... It says, "It's I like your booty, but I'm not gay," which is the main lyric of the song.
Yeah, just on repeat.
I actually could not understand the second part. I just heard, "I like your booty." That's it. You hear minutes of that song throughout the rest of this movie. Just assume anytime we're saying the mech is on screen, you're hearing it. So. As this happens, Carl's screaming in pain. Walter Mellon is laughing at them inside of a spaceship with Neil. We then cut to the reveal that is the spaceship they're watching from is in fact a normal-sized watermelon floating just above the ground next to them. And Frylock's like, what the hell is this? That doesn't matter, though. The mech starts running away with Carl. They're like, how the hell are we going to stop this? And the ghost says, you must push the stop switch. Frylock goes, there is no stop switch. Then there's a pregnant pause, and the ghost says, then it cannot be stopped.
This is almost what we were talking about with Bio Broly.
Yeah.
Where it's like...
Yeah, especially like the line after that. You don't know.
You don't know. Frylock was so done with this shit.
That also felt very much like something that would be a DBZ movie.
Yes. Someone had a fucking clue. They would be like, you don't know. Meatwad has a plan to stop the mech. We cut to them at the theme park, and his plan is to ride the steel python ride.
Yes.
They go, Meatwad, how the hell is this going to solve the problem? This has nothing to do with the mech. And Meatwad goes, we're done for. We just need to enjoy what time is left. As he says, as the Plutonian starts making out with the ghost again. And then the Moon Knights are apparently going to rob them for their money so they can ride the ride.
I think they're going to sell them the furniture they stole so that they can ride the ride.
Yes.
Yes.
Was their pitch.
That was the pitch originally. But then they were like, why would we want the furniture? So then they shot that bullet. Remember?
They did.
They pull out the gun and they shoot the bullet. And they're like, give us your money so we can ride the steel python.
Just stay there for 90 minutes. It's coming.
Oh, it's going to be terrible.
It starts going backward.
He's like, hey, man, I think that thing's coming back. And he's like, what? No, it isn't. Oh, wait. Yeah, it is. We got to go. And then Frylock points out, Meatwad, you're not tall enough to ride this. And Meatwad's like, sure I am. And then he turns into a giant office complex made of meat.
Yes.
And he's like, I didn't know you could do this. And he's like, yeah, I could do this. Do you need to rent some office space? Frylock's like, no, but I have a plan. And apparently the plan is to turn Meatwad into a mech.
Yes.
We cut to the mech downtown. Carl is fucking shredded. He's absolutely huge. Still screaming in horrible pain as this song plays. Meatwad becomes the giant mech. And as they're trying to discuss the design, Meatwad's like, wait, I have an idea to improve it. And then he turns his normal shorts into ripped jorts.
Yeah, there we go.
It's like, see, they're jean shorts now.
Yeah, and Meatwad's like, they sold them to me.
What is it Frylock says? Where it's like, this is a fight, not a pride parade.
I couldn't remember exactly what he said that about, because Meatwad said so many asinine things about the mech design.
Yes.
It's just that it was wearing normal shorts and yes. I mean Fry likes to change it to something else. Those aren't tough. This is a fight, not Pride Parade. It's like changes them to denim shorts.
Yes. He's a real bad dude, obviously. The next turn's coming for Meatwad. Starts running down the road past him, and then it just runs completely past him, and he's dropping all these tiny balls all over the street. It's fucking weird. Frylock realizes, wait a second, these are eggs. Now, I skipped a part where Shake was not going to help with any of this, because no. I thought it wasn't going to be important. In my notes, I skipped this. Shake went to a tanning salon before, while they were trying to figure out the plan with the mech. Now he's back and he's completely orange and his teeth are huge and insane.
He was like, I'm getting my teeth whitened.
So his teeth are like absolutely comically huge.
The world's largest set of chiclets.
Yes, it's like when Courage the Cowardly Dog has like a smile that's five times the size of the rest of him. It's one of those situations. Goes to Christmas Past, explains, see, everyone gets so shredded that they stop eating bread entirely in the future. Then there's a yeast uprising.
Now, this was truly important.
Yes, that's the entire note. Shake abruptly gets hit by a truck, which knocks out his teeth, and his tan falls off like it was just the shirt he was wearing.
Yes.
We got back to the apartment. Meatwad is wearing Sheik's teeth
and sitting on them like a throne.
I'm gonna be honest, yeah. I despise this entire section.
It's so fucking insane. The eggs start hatching. A tiny insano flex comes out of the egg that hatches in front of them, and it starts dancing. And Frylock's trying to figure out what this thing is. They need to figure out how to defeat it. And Meatwad goes, oh, it's from an exercise tape. And he shows them this VHS that's an exercise tape where the fat people get hunted on an island by these mechs. That's it.
With no pants.
And the mechs shoot lasers at their heads and blow off their heads. That's a segment. They realize the only way they can defeat this mech that keeps blaring this music is to get a musician. So they call MC Pee Pants, who's in hell performing for Satan and chocolate unicorns. Satan blows fire breath and melts the unicorns. Anyways, MC Pee Pants, or Mick Pee Pants, says, hey, I got to go to the surface. I'm getting a phone call. The reception's down here is too bad, though. And he goes, okay. But under one condition, wahahahaha. And then we cut to the surface, and McPee Pants is no longer his original diaper spider form. He is a fly that loves dog turds, so he's just going to be slurping on a dog turd throughout the entire next segment. We're not going to talk about it, though.
This thing was really losing me here.
So they explain to him the problem that they need him to drop a beat. He starts dropping a beat. It's pretty good. And then Shake kills him with a fly swatter. And then he starts hitting Meatwad with the shit-covered, dead fly-covered fly swatter.
Yeah.
End scene. They now head down to the roller coaster where the mech is. The Moonanites are now riding the roller coaster.
That, yeah, they are.
Frylock says, I'm tired of this shit. I'm going to blow everything up. Everyone starts screaming. Meatwad says, you can't just blow up your neighbor, Carl. He has so much to live for. Like porn. A giant collection of porn.
Yeah, who's got to take care of that?
And then he's like, oh, you're right. Shake, who has been insisting he's a musician this whole time, starts playing on his acoustic guitar. And the mech gets horribly, horribly depressed.
Yes. Yes.
Walter Mellon laughs at everything, saying it's going according to plan. Shake's playing is so bad that the mech kills itself.
And falls all the way down from like 80 feet.
Yes.
Crushing Carl.
Well, actually, it just died on the track and it was fine. And then Shake just started bouncing up and down on it as Carl's like, okay, someone get me off of this. And that's when the shrapnel and garbage just crushes Carl. And Carl is huge. Hulk huge.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Luckily he seems to be fine because he's so ripped.
Right, he's perfectly fine. But he introduces his friend he met in line at, what was it, some sort of like...
He said it was at the roller coaster. He was in line for it.
Yeah, he said, it, like, I met her in the line for the roller coaster. It's like, what do you mean? You were...
What line? That doesn't... You're bigger than the roller coaster.
But his friend is Linda. She's flexing like mad. She's really fucking tanned and jacked. Frylock, after watching her flexing and Carl trying to get the thing off of it, Frylock just blows up the mech and Carl's fine. Carl's like, okay, now me and Linda here are going to go to her place to investigate something else. Because he's Carl. And then the weirdest conversation happens. Everyone starts talking like bitter incels about how they wish they were getting laid. Frylock shuts them all up to say, hey, the Insanoflex eggs are about to hatch. And then the ghost explains, yeah, the Plutonian invented it, the orange one, the stupid one. Frylock says, it looks like we're going to have to time travel. One moon a night? Oh, no. Okay, so they decide to do that. Scene ends. We cut to the roller coaster Steel Python where the Moonanites are still just stuck on it because it got shut down in the middle of all this. And the small Moonanite tricks the other one into drinking expired mayonnaise he got on the trash, so he starts puking.
God, stop!
70,000 years ago, Pluto University. That Plutonian is stupid.
Okay.
They figured out he's stupid.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, but the there's a really good bit where the other one says, if you kill him, I get all straight A's, so could you do that?
Yes! there's also the bit of like, it's a good thing we were set up as loftmates. We're now going to be lifelong friends. And the other one goes, great.
That's sure is great.
That sure is great. We now cut back to the present. The crew has saved nothing. The Christmas ghost was wrong about who made the machine, it turns out. Then he shows Frylock his W circuit board in his chest gear because he had the same W from the Insanoflex. And then he goes, your father made it, Frylock. And Frylock goes, my father, no, you don't mean. And then you hear Dr. Weird laughing. We then cut to a flashback with In the Air Tonight's intro looping nonstop and star swipes nonstop.
Yes.
Frylock remembers being dunked in oil, Shake being blended, and Meatwad being padded together. Weird shoved part of his brain into Frylock by ripping it out. He stuck a much smaller piece of his brain into Shake, and then some other random organ to balance it out, and Meatwad just got head cheese sprayed into him.
I was going to say, he just got easy cheese. Did Shake even get brain?
He I'm got the sure. tiniest yeah, bit of brain.
Tiny little bit attached to the like, hair.
Imagine yeah. a quarter.
Yeah, he got hair and skin. Scalp. He did not get brain.
There was pink.
There was the tiniest bit of pink. He got epidermis. Then they explained the reason they were all created by Dr. Weird. He's like, I want you to crash this plane into a brick wall.
Don't forget there was the force member, the yeah. chicken nugget.
That's true. They yeah, called him chicken little, nugget. But he's a giant chicken.
I think it was chicken brittle. Actually.
Yeah, he explains they were created to crash a plane into a brick wall for no reason. Frylock says that plane's fucking stupid, so... he hijacks the plane and they fly to Africa where they say they're going to solve world hunger. And when they arrive, the chicken's immediately eaten by a lion.
Yeah, they parachute
It's worth noting that the chicken nugget, chicken biddle is Bruce Campbell.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
I knew it was someone famous and of I was course. Like, it's driving me insane. Who the fuck is this man? Thank you for looking that up.
I meant to go look up and see if there was originally, when they showed up on Space Ghost, a chicken member. There might have been.
I don't think so. Bruce Campbell was on Space Ghost, though.
Of course.
Pretty sure. Yeah, so the chicken's eaten by the lion, and the rest of the crew's like, well, that sucks. And then they scared the hell out of all the people of Africa, because look at them. Okay, we cut back to the future. Linda, Carl's girlfriend, was in fact Dr. Weird in disguise, who rips himself out of her suit and straps Carl to the bed with chains and shit and pulls out a knife.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, come on.
He cuts all of this happens off screen. He cuts all of Carl's muscles out to make a muscle suit and starts fighting Frylock with it after calling Frylock daddy. In the middle of this epic battle, Steve goes, I need to punch out. My wife wanted me home by 6. Is it okay?
And the clock literally says 8:40.
Dr. Weird's like, yes, go ahead and punch out. Not that one. Yes, that one. And it pans over to a card puncher that's made of a giant scary skull.
That's biting.
Yes.
And then he punches his card real quick and it works perfectly fine. And then he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go. The noxious gas is let out of it that melts everything off of Steve. First his face and then his skin and then his muscles and everything. And then Weird starts laughing. The huge. Weird starts screaming at Frylock, calling him daddy and saying that he made Dr. Weird. He goes, what? What do you mean I made you? He goes, don't you remember? You bought I wanted a death teddy bear, but you wouldn't let me have it. He's like, yeah, look at that thing. It's covered in blades. And as he's pointing out how dangerous it is, Shane comes up and just puts his hand in one of the buzz saws.
Yeah, because this thing is just covered with blades that are spinning. Yeah, like, it's not reasonable at all. Yeah,
Prime Lock literally says it'll chop off your hand. So Shane immediately comes in and loses a hand to it.
Just takes a hand and cuts half of it off.
Great.
It's so good. And he's just like, wow. Okay, I don't need that back. Weird pops open the back of Frylock's jewel, which has a VHS tape in it labeled Memories. My next note says, a lot happens, but...
Yeah.
Shake blows out Meatwad with a shotgun because who knows? Walter Mellon tells Neil Peart to play the drum solo of life, which he does. And everyone watches as Neil Peart plays an amazing drum solo because he's wearing a portable drum kit attached to his body
that he walks with.
It's so good. Neil successfully revives Meatwad.
I'd like to also point out that both him and the melon are really small, so it's just a really small guy.
Oh, yeah, tiny, like 3 inches tall.
Yes.
Neil then starts walking over to Steve to revive him, and Weird goes, no, you don't have to.
And then he starts walking
and
back.
Then Steve starts walking back. Walter Mellon says he made them, and it was his plan to have Fry and Weird destroy each other so that way he could use their houses to make a gym.
God.
He's pissed as hell when Fry tells him it's not even zoned for making a gym or a business. So
we rent.
Sucked anyways. Yeah. He goes, yeah, we all rent.
Yes. A critical part of this was that the fucking Weird headquarters has now become condominiums.
Yes.
And they're like, you can just keep this one. You're very scary.
Walter says he's going to tell Fry's mother about all this and then leaves. Fry goes, mother? And then out of nowhere, a 9-layer burrito with giant tits appears and goes, I'm your mother, Fry. And Fry says, cool.
Isn't that's neat, I guess, or something that
something like that.
Yeah.
The fucking confectionaries from the intro start walking out and doing the let's all go to the movie things, but they sing a song about how your shitty job won't pay you enough to watch it on your HD TV.
And then you came here alone, so you're going to go home to masturbate.
Yes. And then the movie ends. I look it up later. The giant-titted burrito, 9-layer bean burrito, was in fact Tina Fey. And that is 24 and a half Mondo Cool. Akko Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters.
Whew.
Thank you so much, Dan. We're gonna get through this at an express speed. We're gonna start with feel on this one.
Real quick, I gotta say, this has to be the easiest this has ever been for every segment because there's so much in this movie.
Yeah, so much happens.
Yeah.
Like, this is like 12 DBZ movies.
Yes, it is. We're moving on to our segments. The first one we have here is the Yamcha Award. We're gonna start with feel. Who is the worst performer of this movie?
Cartoon Network, because they don't pay Carrie Means voice of Frylock residuals, so when his house got blown down by a storm, he had to use GoFundMe.
That is absolutely fair.
Yes. Yeah, it's rough.
I threw in on that.
Bob!
Yeah, so did I.
I'm going to give it to Steve. I know Steve never performs well, but here he is literally vaporized. Come on.
Technically, he melted.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to go next. I'm going to pick that green Moonanite that just blindly drinks mayonnaise that came out of the trash.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's mine.
That's Ignacht is the green one?
Ignacht, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, fuck that guy. Dan, you're up.
Carl, he's so ripped. Why couldn't he rip out of those chains or lift that metal sheet? I don't understand.
I don't know, but when they cut him with all the skin cut off, it was the worst.
I skipped that part in the description.
Sure did. He, I don't know, guys. He obviously just worked out too much. He can't even move.
Oh, God, I didn't even talk about him drinking the supplement that Linda made.
Yeah, that's like monkey hormone organ supplement or some horrible thing.
Okay, we're moving on to our next segment. This is the greatest it's ever been. You have to pick a character from this movie that can defeat Jiren from Dragon Ball Super. Dan, you can go first.
I'm going to go say Dr. Weird Good.
Yeah,
you trick him into eating tacos or corn and die.
Or just have a punch a time card. Anything.
That's true.
I mean, Muscle Dr. Weird could easily defeat Jiren.
Yes.
That dude got sawed in half and seemed fine.
All right, we'll go to Feel next.
The Insanoflex. That would have been a very different tournament of power.
Yes.
Yeah, it just kept going. Bob.
The Moon Knights. They shoot the gun.
Uh-huh.
And then the Jiren knows he'd be a coward not to stand there.
Yeah, no, he won't dodge it.
So obviously they just win.
Now here's my question to the audience and everyone here. Did we say that already within the run of Mondo Cool? Because I think we did.
Probably.
We probably have made a joke about it, yes.
That he would just wait.
However, it's been so long, I'm allowing a second use.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because it wasn't in this segment.
Yeah, the Moon Knight didn't actually show up until now, surprisingly.
Shockingly, yeah.
I'm going to pick Shake. He's just going to pull out the shotgun and blow fucking Jiren's brains out.
Oh, no. I don't know the effect of guns on Jiren.
Yeah. Case closed. Oh, God. Our third segment is we have to take a character from, you know, the various Dragon Ball series and pit them against the villain of this film. The Insanoflex. Yeah, I'm going to pick that. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
That is what we will use as our subject. And, Oof. You know what? I got one. We know it thanks to various Dragon Ball media that Krillin can sing really badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm gonna talk, I will use that.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Bob.
This is tough. There's so many. So much potential here. I feel like most things could easily beat this machine.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to choose something funny. You can't just be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess yeah, Goku Zunama. Could do it. We got to try and balance this. I'm going to say Pan's got this.
Ooh.
She's too small to actually fit in the machine. So it can't take care of her like that. She can't be stuck in there working out. So she can just command Maya. It's
okay.
Fine.
That makes sense.
Okay. Feel.
I'm gonna say Goku can defeat it because he would get caught, but he would be so into working out it would give up. It however would be able to defeat Vegeta by overworking him. Vegeta wouldn't be able to handle
it. Very important detail.
I'm just imagining Vegeta but with Carl's face.
Hey. My power level's none of your friggin' business.
Yep.
That's basically what we got in the last thing we watched. the plan to eradicate the Super Saiyans. That's basically how bad his face looks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Dan?
Okay, for mine, I'm going to need help from Bob. Hey, Bob, you remember when you looked up the specific form names given to Vegeta and Trunks when they trained to get huge?
Oh, yes! God. Oh, my God. What was it?
Those names were all so bad. There are so many.
Super Saiyan Grade 2.
They have, like, some of them were, like, extra or extreme or ascended or any number of things, and it was the funniest shit in the world.
Yeah, there were so many. I think ascended is the one that really stuck with me.
Yeah, I think you read 5 or 6 different names for that shit.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Trunks in that form because he's already almost as huge as Carl.
Yes, when they're like, we'll become Super Saiyans that are really jacked so we can't move.
Yes, exactly.
Those are some great picks. I appreciate all of them. It's at this point we move on to something. Now, while you were doing the summary, Dan, I came to a horrible realization.
Hmm.
This is not a Dragon Ball movie at all.
Oh, is it?
And we've, in fact, been spending this time putting an Aqua Teen thing. So,
oh, damn it.
It unfortunately can't reach the rankings. However, I like when we score things, so we will at least hypothetically say what it could have been in this ranking if it was an actual Dragon Ball film. So, starting with the biggest fan of Aqua Teen of them all, Bob, I need your review and hypothetical score.
This was pretty great. Probably shouldn't have been a full movie length.
Yeah.
It really felt like they kept strapping in different episodes because they couldn't figure out how to make it a full movie length.
Because it hard cuts sometimes.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it a 6. This is really strong. This is like, it's good to some of the best DBZ movies.
Yeah.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. Dan.
You know, I'm gonna say it's pretty strong. It's not the strongest. I would say it belongs somewhere around Mystical Adventure and World's Strongest. I'm gonna give it a 4.
Oh, okay. You know, that would logically, hypothetically make some level of sense.
It has a great use of characters. It is a lot to take in, though. It's overwhelming in a way most Dragon Ball Z movies aren't.
I wish they had this much lore for characters in a freaking Dragon Ball Z movie.
You know, it's overwhelming the way Rise of Skywalker is overwhelming with the amount of events that are happening. Somehow, Dr. Weird has returned. Phil, what do you hypothetically give this Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie?
I'm sitting at around a 4. It was a pretty enjoyable watch, even if it had the energy of an episode of a TV show that was 90 minutes long.
Well, I'm also similarly where you guys are at with a 4. There are a lot of parts that were truly amazing and hilarious, though there are some truly vile things here that were on the level of, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that thing with that mayonnaise? Why is that thing still sucking on that dog turd? Please, anything but this, which really knocked it down for me, and also could have maybe trimmed this down a little bit, but hey, you have to do what you have to do to hit theater mandates, I guess, because those credits ran real slow.
Yes, that was the slowest scrolling credits I think I've ever fucking seen.
I don't think credits get counted, so it doesn't matter.
That's even better then.
Yes.
God, I just think about how we weren't able to go to the movie theater, normal ones in our town for this. We had to go to like the bad movie theater.
A bad movie theater in another city.
Yeah, it didn't go to regular movie theaters at all.
So, hypothetically, if this was in our rankings, this scored a grand total of an 18.
Which means it's tied with BoJack Unbound.
Now, because we already did a ranking this episode, like, earlier, like, 20 minutes in, I'm not doing it again. We'll handle the tie that we currently have here next time. So don't worry. We will decide it. You just wait a little bit. There's still some more to go, though. And Bob's gonna tell us what we have in store next time on Mondo Cool.
Here we go again. Okay, we're done having fun. Back to Bardock. Have you ever wondered if a backstory could be so stupid everyone rejected it before it even came out? Well, it can. Next time on Mondo Cool, episode of Bardock.